Yeah, it'd be easier not to share my story, but it's because my courage will bring other people to the place of feeling like they're not alone.
Welcome to the Share Your Story podcast with your host, Megan McGowan, and her guests as they share real, raw, inspiring stories of how they have overcome adversity and the lessons they've learned along the way. Megan's mission is to change perspectives, offer hope, and create connections with her audience to make the world we live in a more connected place. All right, let's dive into this episode.
Hey guys, today I have a really special guest. Her name is Lisa Compton. She is a makeup artist, an entrepreneur, a mom, a wife, and I admire so much that she leads through her faith. She leads with her heart. When you hear her speak, her soul just comes right out and you just can't help but feel her light. And I'm so happy to have you here today, Lisa. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm so honored to be here. You know, when you asked me to come here, you had mentioned about being in Phoenix together and how basically we were just sitting around in a hotel room, and I just kind of started sharing my story, and you had mentioned to me how it was life-changing for you.
Absolutely. And
it's so interesting because this is a story that I ran from for so long because of shame and embarrassment. And I would do anything that I could to not be that person or to let people find out who I was. But before I go further to who I am today, let's go back to who I was. Growing up, I was someone that really struggled with confidence. And that was something that I never felt I had. And so as a makeup artist, I've been a makeup artist for 20 years, I'm self-taught. And so I started doing makeup when I was 13, and it was something that not necessarily was I good at, or did I, I loved it. I loved doing it, but it was more so I loved doing it on other people because I would see their demeanor changed. The second I turned them around in the mirror and showed them the way that they looked, I would just see this confidence come through from within, and they would see themselves in a way that maybe they've never seen themselves before. But for me, it was always something that it's already there. You just have to bring it to the surface. And for me, it was very much a journey to have that come to the surface for me, to really see the confidence that lived within, that was buried by lies and the world and the deceit. We talked about labels too, and we talked about how labels limit us. And so often we find who we are and what we do, things that we've accomplished, the titles we have, the houses we have, everything. It's always about what we do or what we have, but it's really about who we are. And for me, that was defined by a lot of labels, and a couple that were very hard for me to ever talk about was when I was 17, and even before that, I always struggled with really bad anxiety. I had always struggled with depression, but at 17, it became real when it was labeled bipolar.
Wow.
And when people hear bipolar, some people can understand because they've been there, or they've had someone suffer that they've loved and they've seen it. Mm-hmm. And then other people, they think it's a stigma. They think that mental illness doesn't really exist. Yeah. So I went with more of that, like that I was crazy.
Yeah.
I also had the feeling like I had to take, a pill to be happy. Like, what's wrong with me? I'm broken, you know? And I really didn't have anyone in my life that was mentoring me or guiding me. So I was more in the self-control path of destruction of how can I feel the best way. I turned to drinking, I turned to drugs. I also turned to a place of controlling the way I saw myself in the mirror, and controlling what came in and what came out, because my life was falling apart. Like, I had this diagnosis of depression. I felt like people thought I was crazy. People probably did think I was crazy, right? And then I was numbing myself with alcohol and drugs, and that wasn't enough. Sleeping was the only coping mechanism that seemed to make it go away. I got really good at sleeping. I was like an expert. And then also, like I said, everything was falling apart. So the control that I wanted, the only thing I found was through eating disorders. And so I was bulimic. And I also really, you know, watched what I ate too. So I was borderline anorexic and bulimic. So I was a hot mess. And I was really, really embarrassed of all of it. So I hid behind, a smile. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have no idea the pain that someone's feeling inside because we can put an act on the outside. And for years and years and years, I put on an act that no one was going to know how crazy I was. No one was going to know the diagnosis of me being bipolar. No one was going to know the struggles that I had because that would make me weak.
Yeah.
You know, broken attracts broken. And so I meet this man that is now my husband. And because I was so broken, that's what I attracted. And so we were both very broken, young kids at the time, falling in love, trying to make this work. And that became a hot mess too. And I, you know, everything is like, get married, have kids, make it all look picture perfect, right? Because we live our life off of social media now. We live off highlight reels, comparing ourselves, seeing this person getting married or this person having kids. And oh, I'm married, I need to have kids. Even though you're not even in the right place yet, you think that that's the next step. And so for me, I ended up getting married at 24, and we were nowhere near ready for marriage or commitment for of any means. Very quickly, within a year, I had filed for divorce. And that's when things started to turn around. It was the first time that I really took a step in the right direction, sticking up for myself, knowing that I wasn't going to hide behind the false stories of everything is all put together. Perfectionism is something that so many people struggle with on all different levels. And mine was just in performance. I got really good at performing that my life was good. Even though to me, I'm like, how could people not see the hot mess that it was? Like, how could people buy the lie, right?
Yeah.
But it's very interesting to me how many people still live this way because they're so trapped with shame, guilt, embarrassment that they don't want people to know. And that they're living this fake life and they're miserable.
Absolutely.
And for me, it was the first time I wasn't embarrassed to say that my life was falling apart when I filed for divorce. And that was when I realized that the next step that I was going to make was going to create a ripple effect with me first being the change and then everybody else around me. And I realized at that point that my story happened for me, not to me.
Wait, can you repeat that one more time?
I realized that my story happened for me, not to me.
Wow.
Story that I was holding back from, the story that I was silenced to, it was really something that was going to give me my purpose in life. It was going to be that I was going to be a messenger of hope. And sharing that you don't have to be who you are today doesn't define who you're going to be in the future. Yes. Who you are today isn't going to define the way your life is going to go. Who you are today isn't going to define what people are going to say, how your life is going to go. You can work through these things, and we look at them as struggles, right? We look at them as things that have made us weak. I mean, I looked at being bipolar as something like I'm not mentally sane, and, you know, so many struggles that I had, and, you know, the addictions lead to the downward spiral. And I ended up being hospitalized for suicide to the point where I was ready to end it all because I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel understood. I didn't feel seen. And so I thought, what mattered, right? But I was so embarrassed to share this story because what would people think of me? What would people think of me if they knew the real Lisa? And honestly, my maiden name is Tomaselli. And I literally, when I got married and started working through this, I would actually talk in third person as Lisa Tomaselli, like this old person. And truly, when I married my young self to my now self, to the middle story, that's who I am. Mm-hmm. You don't leave any part out. When you leave parts out, it's part of your heart that's missing. It's part of your heart that can't beat. And so when I realized that my story was to be shared, and my story was to be shared in a way of weakness and struggles, that made me stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that I admire most in you, is that you don't view vulnerability as a weakness. You mentioned before that you might have in the past, but now when you're vulnerable, you use that as a strength. As this is what I've been through, this is where I am today. And you utilize that, and you still do. I want you to speak a little bit about what happened after you filed for divorce, and then lead us into your work now about how you kind of serve others and give back to your community.
Yeah. So when I filed, it was the first time that I knew I was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. But if I was going to be okay with my husband or without him, but I had this peace that I knew that I was going to be okay. And so I trusted that. And because of me taking that step of courage and knowing that I was worth more, it created that ripple effect in my husband. And my husband fought for our marriage. And he also, and I've asked for his blessing to be able to share part of our story, because he also fought with addiction. And it's now been 6 years, and he's been sober, and I've been sober for 5 years. And not only did we try everything in our marriage, we tried counseling, we tried, you know, I tried the good wife, the mean wife, the bad wife, the feel sorry for wife, like every situation. And I'm going to be real. It wasn't until we brought Jesus into the center of our marriage that we experienced extreme redemption and healing. And we realized that again happened for us to now help other couples, to show them a way to not take necessarily the route that so much of people feel is the easier way out. Cause I'll be honest, I'm not divorced, you know, but yet I can't imagine that route. And I know so many people that have, and I think it's difficult either way, but fighting through something the way that we fought together made us stronger together and made us appreciate life in a different way. It helps us see how far we've come to realize how much further we're continuing to go. And it's given us such a purpose in our marriage to speak truth into other people, to help them see that where they are in their marriage today doesn't mean where they're going to be next week or next year. It's really been such a gift and transformation of just really embracing the story, embracing the parts, embracing the failures, embracing all of those things, because they really don't exist. That's just in our heart and our head. Like, it's just in our head that they exist. Like, it's how we perceive things. You know, me filing for divorce was one of the best things I ever did. But yet at the time, it looked like I was failing and I was throwing in the towel. But yet it was a step that made me start to discover who I really was and who God was really allowing me to see the way he saw me. And, you know, it's just been absolutely amazing. But it's also, as we were talking earlier, the calling can be really big sometimes. And for me, it's God taking my weakest part of me, which is fear of judgment. I am petrified of being judged, of what people would think of me, what people will say about me. And, you know, to be completely honest and vulnerable right now, because that's what we're doing, right? Part of me, I wasn't raised with a relationship with Jesus. I was raised in religion. So I didn't understand the difference. And so when I saw someone that was in their faith and really grounded in their faith and aligned to who they truly were and are, I would make fun of them because I didn't know any better. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything. And so I would judge them. And so now God has taken my biggest weakness of feeling judged about the one thing that I judge. And now he's using that for me to speak and share my story of transformation. Not to mention in high school, I failed speech class from anxiety attacks because I was so scared to speak. And so he took that weakness and now has married them together and has me speaking at conferences, has me speaking on podcasts and all of these things and using my weaknesses with his power that's made perfect. And it's just been a really hard thing sometimes because I am so scared of being judged, but I know that this isn't for me. I know again that this happened for me to share with others and that this message is really for whoever's listening right now, that there is hope. There is light in the darkness. And when you're going through something, that you're never going through it alone, that God's always with you. But also with me being called to share the darkest parts of my life, vulnerability breeds relatability. So not only do you have God with you, but you also realize that you're not the only one going through it or have gone through it. And it allows you to feel a level of comfort knowing that other people are going through what you're going through or can relate to what you've gone through.
Yes. Yeah. No, every single thing that you're saying is just resonating so much with the mission and why we're doing this. And, you know, one of my favorite things that you said was that your story didn't happen to you, but it happened for you. And I think that's a point that has to be emphasized because it takes, you know, away the victim mindset that the world is out to get me, that I have an awful life, that, you know, that you're a victim and victims, there's no help. There's no, you know, future. There's no light. There's no hope. But being able to say that it happened for you, which is, I think it's a very difficult thing to say and believe, but being able to step in that and understand that and embrace that. And again, this is one of the hardest things. I mean, I think I could have ever asked you to do was come on and, you know, pour out your heart and your soul, but, you know, having faith and having trust in doing that speaks volumes to the fact of the effect that this has, that this is so needed, that this is so important, that we need to understand that people hide behind smiles. I hid behind a smile for so many years. Mm-hmm. We never truly know what one another is going through. And that's what you said at the beginning. You were like, how the heck would people not realize, you know, my life is falling apart, like I'm a hot mess. And mm-hmm. they saw the exterior. But I can't thank you enough for sharing that today. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you one more question. Okay. What would you tell yourself? What 15 years ago, what would you tell Lisa 15 years ago? What advice would you give to her? What would you tell her about where you are today? What is that?
Oh goodness. Okay.
Well, I know.
You know, it's so interesting because even when I'm my lowest of lowest and at the point of, you know, visualizing my suicide and planning it out to the point where I was walking out of the high school ready to go, something had me go into the counselor's office instead of the parking lot to go home. And I think for me, I always knew that there was something inside of me. I always knew that there was confidence that existed. I always knew that I was a good person. Like I always knew it and I always could see just a glimpse of it. And I held on to that glimpse. And so I just want to thank that 15-year-old Lisa that she held on to that hope and that belief and that faith, even though she didn't even have it yet. She had, there was something that she knew existed before she even saw it. And so I just want to encourage everyone today listening that even if you don't see it yet, even if you haven't had it revealed to you of how amazing you are, how unique you are, how you are wonderfully and fearfully made, continue the journey, find the peace in the process along the way. And I promise you, little by little, it'll be chiseled away and you will see the pure gold inside of you.
Lisa, thank you so much. You're such a blessing in my life. You're such a blessing in every single person's life that you come into. So again, thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you again for having me, Meg. I love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Share Your Story podcast with your host, Megan McGowan. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. This helps others find the show, and we really appreciate it. Once again, thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode of the Share Your Story podcast.